say together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We hear our Lord's summary of the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign Lady Queen Elizabeth and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the collect of the first Sunday of Christmas. God in Trinity, eternal unity of perfect love, gather the nations to be one family and draw us into your holy life through the birth of Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we hear our first reading.
Our first reading is from Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 12 to verse 17. It's on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel reading. Reading is from Luke's gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 15. Be found on page 1027 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We affirm our faith in Emmanuel, God with us, as we say the creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please do sit down, and Patrick's going to speak to us this morning.
Let's pray. May I speak in your name as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you can see by your flyers this morning, the theme of today is what's in a name. And as I was having to think about this, two things really came into mind. Of course, with Luke's gospel reading today, what's in the name as far as Jesus is concerned. But also what really came into my mind as well was what's in a name as far as I'm concerned, what's in my name and what's in your name as well. I played rugby for many, many years, and certainly the name of the team I played for was really important to us. We wanted to be known as a team that played hard on the field and drunk hard in a rugby club. Neither of which ended really well, to be perfectly honest. So what's in a name? Business people, I don't know how many business people we have here, but I spent 25 years in the dental trade as a salesman and as a sales manager. And it was important that we held on to the ethos, the name of the company, and our names as sales people, but often it didn't work out so well, particularly when you had sales teams staying at hotels. Not for the first time, I got a phone call from the managing director saying, Patrick, what is the expenses bill looking like? So that didn't go too well either, so what's in a name? Celebrities as well. Often I see someone on TV and I just wonder how they've actually got to this point. I look back and sort of think, well, what are you actually famous for? And the answer is probably nothing a lot of the time. What's in a name? But the reality is, we all are all quite concerned with the way the world sees us. We are all quite concerned about perhaps putting a bit of polish on things. And if I'm totally honest, when I was preparing for this, because I always find public speaking a bit of a challenge at times, I wanted to put my own bit of polish. But I want to do away with that today as we focus on the gospel reading first of all. First of all, in first century Palestine, what type of a name would the shepherds have? Now, it's been quite trendy in recent years to talk about the shepherds as someone who are on the sidelines, and that is certainly true. I won't elongate that too much more, only to use Kathy's words, who spoke very, very well at the carol service. They would be seen as unclean by Jewish standards because they did an unclean job. They wouldn't be able to go to the temple all the time because they were always on the move. At best, they would have been seen as working class folk with no pedigree or name for themselves. What about the name of Mary and Joseph? He was a carpenter. Him and his young pregnant wife were called to Bethlehem, and the baby was born there. They were from a rural back town. Again, at best, just pretty normal working class folk whose baby was born in a manger. I was looking through the Lion Handbook at what a manger looked. We often see a feeding trough, but it's also thought that it could have been no more than a hole carved in the ground of the floor of the stable. So certainly not much of a name by worldly standards there. Luke wants us to understand that salvation is for all through the name of Jesus Christ. Unique to the Gospel of Luke, in the infancy narrative, just a verse before the reading today, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favour rests. That's unique to Luke. And also as we go forward, just after Christ is named, and we look at the account of Simeon in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Luke wants to tell us salvation is for all, irrespective of our standing, irrespective of where we are. Also, Luke wants to, at a time where women were not considered particularly highly, Luke wants to give women equal rights. It's interesting, again, earlier on in the book of Luke, when the angel comes to Mary, she basically says, "Let your will be done." When the angel comes to Zechariah to announce the coming birth of John, probably like a typical man having a bit of a moan, and Emma would probably back that one up as far as I'm concerned, particularly over this festive season. And he's a priest as well, so his name, Zechariah's got a big name for himself. And what does he say when the angel comes to him? "This can't be so." He doubts. And the angel rightly says, "Right, Zechariah, you're going to be quiet for a few months." And he is. Luke's concern is for the underdog, the good news to the poor. Jesus goes on to associate with tax collectors and sinners, social outcasts, people with leprosy, and the people of the Samaritans. Finally, Luke records that Jesus is put on the cross next to two common criminals. How will this salvation for all take place, however? Luke gives us the answer in verse 21. In line with the Jewish tradition, Jesus is named on the eighth day, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. His name is not from earthly rounds. His name has not been given by his parents. His name has been given from above. His name has been given from heavenly rounds. A heavenly declaration of who Jesus is. Again, earlier on in Luke, the birth of Jesus foretold, his name will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Not only is he for us all, for the Gentiles, he fulfills the grand narrative of the Bible itself, from creation to fall to the founding of Israel to Jesus to the church where we are now and on to the end times. His name will be there forever. What's in a name? In the name of Christ, Luke leaves us with no doubt. His kingdom will never end, and he will be called the Son of God. But what about for us? As we try our best to walk with God, to be imitators of his Son, through and enabled by the Holy Spirit. What type of name would we like for ourselves? How are we known by others? What are we known for? How do we approach others? Let us ask the question then, what's in our names? We'll return to that in just a moment. In Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, it boasts one central substance, that Jesus is the Lord of all. Paul writes to a church that's potentially being taken in the wrong direction by an unknown group of people. Maybe in favour of religious cults that were active in the town at the time, or by asceticism, which is a form of a very extreme form of self-discipline to achieve closeness to God. Paul wants us to know that they must not think that there is any hope anywhere outside of Christ and thus be deceived. If our hope is founded anywhere near or our need to make names for ourselves based on our earthly status, our notoriety, power, then we will fall short. We have a very serious potential of being deceived ourselves. So what is our name in? Is it in our job? Is it in our hobby? Is it in our position in the world? Is it in a set of earthly rules, or is it in the name of Christ? Our name should be centered around and formed through the attributes that are listed in this letter today: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and overall the cement that binds them all together, love. I wonder whether the Brexit negotiations, if were centred around compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness and love, we would be staring down the barrel of a very different set of more loving circumstances. At the centre of what's in the name of Jesus and the meaning for us as a people, according to Paul, are people of peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, that allows Christ to call us into peace and thankfulness, that allows the word, of Christ to dwell in us richly as we engage with others, with all wisdom, that worships with our hearts grateful to God. And the rubber really hits the road in verse 17. We do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Through him, Jesus is the only way. Paul tells us that Jesus is central and nothing and no one else is. To finish, what's in a name? In the name of Christ, for us, a new creation shaped by the gospel, the good news in regard to the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name given to him by the heavenly realms. By God as the Father, via the obedience of Mary, and offered to all who are willing to respond, irrespective of our social status, class, or position, to shepherds and kings alike, and of course, to us all. Amen.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Shall we stand? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.